Hi, and welcome to What the Phalange, the podcast where we watch every episode of Friends, discuss it, deconstruct it, and fan over it one episode at a time.
My name is Quinn, pronouns zizier or they, them.
My name is Emily, pronouns she and her.
This week, we're talking about season one, episode 22, the one with the ick factor. Aired May 4th, 1995, written by Alexa Young, directed by Robbie Benson.
In this episode, we're going to have a rough day today. In this episode, Monica accidentally dates a minor. Eek! Ross waits patiently to hear from Carol, who may be going into labor any day now. Phoebe works as Chandler's secretary, only for Chandler to find out that no one in his office actually likes him. And Rachel keeps having sex dreams about her friends.
Lol. Hey, Emily.
Hey. How's it going?
It's going all right. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah. I'm a little tired going into this, I gotta say. Gotta be honest.
That's fair. I think I have a little bit more energy than you, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm battling a bit of a sore throat this week, so.
Not COVID.
It's not COVID, I swear. It's because our humidifier is broken and it's very dry in this house, so I might turn out to have like a sultry, sexy, raspy voice throughout this podcast,
like when Phoebe gets sick. So what were your thoughts on this episode? General thoughts.
So I have been anxious about this episode since we started this podcast.
Yeah, I know. I remember us talking about it a while back.
I think I was overthinking this episode, and I was like, how are we going to talk about the fact that Monica sleeps with someone who's underage? That is super sketchy and weird. And then I watched this episode, and like I thought about it, and it's not nearly as like scary to talk about or weird to talk about as I thought it was going to be. And so like I'm kind of stoked to hear what people think and hear what you think and to have a discussion about it, I guess.
Yeah, same. I do think it does bring up some, like, important conversations, but I think that we're also lucky that, I'm grateful that the representation in it is not, like, making light of something that's not cool.
Yeah. They could have done this in a really poor way, and they didn't. And
exactly.
Considering that, like, a few episodes ago, we had the scenario where Chandler dates his coworker slash employee. I think that like they handled this way better than they handled that. So I'm really thankful that this was handled well.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. And then we have the two other storylines of essentially there's a gay sex line, essentially.
Gay sex line.
Yeah. Well, Jumbo. Ross's pager. I mean, no, it's like a paging for what seems to be like a gay escort system. Also pagers.
Yeah.
Throwback.
I didn't think that was like a plot line. Okay, yeah, totally.
Well, yeah, that's one of the plot lines, right?
Right,
And then there's also the sex dreams, which both tie around Ross, and which I think is interesting. And you know, Ross is interesting in this
episode. There's just a lot of sex in this episode.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. And then Phoebe works as Chandler's secretary, which is very platonic, not at all sexy. Which, like, I'm happy about, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyways. I didn't really write down like three things I wanted to talk about because I feel like there's like more generic things that are going to come up as we go through the scenes a little bit more. So if it's all right with you, I'd be down to go a little bit more scene by scene, but not like necessarily touch on absolutely everything.
Oh, interesting. You want to go scene by scene? I was going to say that we could just do these storylines.
Okay, we could do that too. Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Now I'm doubting myself, but okay, let's do this.
All right. Well, let's start right away with a cold open, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
So they're all in Central Perk. Rachel is working slash not working again. What else is new? Working, but like,
but
mostly
looking
just hanging out with
real
her
cute the whole time.
Super cute in her outfit. And we obviously find out that she had a sex dream about Chandler the night before. And I think, like, I actually think there's some really good script work in this episode. Like, really witty lines from Chandler and really witty lines from, like, pretty much everyone this episode, actually, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
The script is really good. And it's funny because I think it's Alexa Young, and I feel like last time she wrote an episode, we said the same thing. We really, really liked
the script. Like the one-liners that she had. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So
yeah.
Where she's so far is getting my favorite writer award, if we're giving one of those out. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so we find out that Rachel had the sex dream about Chandler, and Chandler feels good about it. Ross does not.
No, Ross does not. Ross is hilariously... It's one of those things, right, where his reaction is funny for us. Is it the best kind of representation? Maybe not.
Right.
I mean, like, it just doesn't make sense for him to be upset at Chandler about this whole thing.
I know. It's such a good line, though. It's, like, one of my favorite Chandler lines ever. Ross just gets so, like, hissy-fitty, and he's just like, I can't believe you two had sex in her dream. He's like, I'm so sorry. I was really drunk, and it was somebody else's subconscious. Just such a great line. Like,
oh. What I also love is that in our polls, 100% of everyone who took the poll said that they have had a sex dream about a platonic friend before.
Yeah, for sure.
I know, right?
I remember in high school, I had a sex dream about a friend when I was in high school. And for the whole next day, I was convinced I was in love with this person. And then, like, I had another sleep and woke up and was like, that was weird that I was, like, in love with this person for a day. Yeah, it's weird. Sex dreams, just they get to you sometimes. Like, especially when you weren't expecting someone to show up. You're like, oh, hello there.
And then you get all self-conscious that maybe you're gay. Turns out you are gay.
Yeah, that's real, obviously.
Okay, and then I've been noticing that the cold opens kind of just roll into the first scene.
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. It doesn't really set up everything; it just sets up that one thing. And I also find this episode interesting because Chandler gets a little like, "I want to know more. I want to know more." But considering Chandler, I think that his character has taken these things to whole new levels, and I think he's actually pretty reasonable with his teasing in this episode.
Yeah, totally. Like, I think that this, to me, like, at this point in the show, I feel like they've established a teasy banter in the group, you know? And, like, Rachel told them about the dream, and, like, she couldn't have expected to tell them about the dream and have them just be like, oh, cool.
You know? Yeah, right.
Like, she knows her group of friends.
Because it's, like, also awkward for Chandler, right? Yeah. Like, it's immediately involving him as well.
Yeah.
And it's, like, if someone was like, I had a sex dream about you, I'd be like,
Exactly. It's weird.
So I think he handles it real well.
Yeah. I think he's just, like, honestly, I think he's just having a good time. And he's just, like, obviously thinks that it's, like, so silly and that she clearly doesn't have, like, actual feelings for him. Like, it's not like he's, like, oh, does Rachel like me or something? Or, oh, is Rachel going to have sex with me? Like, he's not like...
Yeah, he sees it for what it is.
In that way. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a nice contrast to Ross.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, he is like looking so far into everything. He's like, he looks so deep into everything. Yeah. And Chandler's able to just take it at the surface value of what it is. Yeah, you know?
Exactly. Ugh, Ross. I can't wait to like Ross more in future episodes. Like, I really like him.
Does he get better?
I actually think that if I'm just watching the show and not making a podcast about the show, I really like Ross. Like, I think he's just, like, he is one of the best characters on the show, and I've said this before, in the fact that, like, he just makes the show so ridiculous. Like, it's just... It wouldn't be as ridiculous without Ross. And so I really appreciate Ross's presence in the show. Would I want to be friends with Ross in real life? No, I would not. I would not like to have him in my friend group. That would be a really hard person to have in my friend group. But, like, I just appreciate his presence. And I do feel like he does get sillier and funnier as the show goes on.
I just find that he just emotes and reacts in like the unfiltered kind of ways that maybe our like child self wants to react to our adult situations.
That's true.
You know, and so he it, like seeing him sometimes is almost like satisfying in a way because you're like, I want to react to that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Hi.
And, yeah, totally. But it's just interesting because also the whole man-child epidemic that we have, it just propagates that.
Yeah.
But then we go on to scene one, which is, again, in the cafe. And like we said, cold opens have been just rolling right into the first scene. And we have Joey's mediocre comment.
Yeah.
To Phoebe, where, okay, I think this whole scenario with Phoebe having taught a massage yourself class and then now has lost all her clients to themselves.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, no, if you really taught a massage yourself class, like, it's so different massaging. Like, what?
Yeah, no. It's a different experience.
Like, either she's a terrible massage therapist or she self-identifies as a masseuse, so I'm going to keep using masseuse for her. But, like, either she's a terrible masseuse or she's just, like, people, I don't understand. How could people equate giving themselves a massage?
Well, as we've discussed before, she is a terrible massage therapist.
That's true, we have discussed this. But, okay, yes, true. I'm also just wondering, maybe rent is so obscenely high in New York City that people get a massage once and then just give themselves massages the rest of the year. That makes sense to me.
Very likely.
Massages are very expensive, but also very wonderful, especially if they're covered by insurance.
Yeah. I agree.
Ugh. I want a massage now.
So then we're losing Emily, you guys. I'm gonna pull us back on track here before she falls into lulls herself to sleep.
I love Phoebe's hair in this scene. I want to say that.
Cute. Yeah.
I like the way it's parted in the middle. It looks very luxurious.
I love Phoebe in this scene.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious how, okay, first of all, she's looking at operating a drill press. Okay, Joey does the mediocre thing of like,
I don't know, what are you wearing?
Like, I just have so many questions for that. Like, what do you even mean, Joey? You know, like, anyway.
Probably safety gear, Joey. Probably steel-toed boots, and she's gonna kick you with them.
Keep it in your pants, Joey.
Ugh.
Anywho, but then I think it's really cute when he like offers to Chandler for her to work for him, which I think is hilarious because Chandler's not thrilled about it.
Yeah.
And this whole like discussion between them is hilarious.
I know.
How he's like, you would have to be normal for large periods of the day. And she's like up on her knees and she's like, I can do that. like super serious, like I can put on this face, you know, like.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's so true.
I love it. It's so cute.
This I find interesting because it's like, I do have many people in my life who I love very dearly as friends who I definitely would not want working for me.
I know.
So
right?
Like Chandler is definitely placed in an awkward position here. Like he's like, she's my friend, Joey, what are you doing? I don't want her working for me. This is weird. Like, so I understand this reaction.
Yeah. And then I appreciate how it sort of backfires on him, right? Where he thinks that she's going to be the problem. And then her being there helps him discover that actually he's the one that's not very well off in the office.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So, okay. So then we find out that Ross is waiting for his pager. He's got the... I do like going through scene one because I feel like scene one always sets us up. Cold open and scene one always sets us up for the rest of the episode. And then everyone kind of goes their separate ways and follows their own story. So this... Here we're getting Ross set up with his number, 55 Jimbo, which obviously gets confused with 55 Jumbo later on in the episode.
Who is Jimbo?
I don't know. Okay, possible name for the kid.
Okay, wait. I want to look up a possible name for the kid.
That's what they say in the episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that, I guess.
Like, it's just like a really short line.
Okay, you guys. Great. So, 55 Jimbo is... Okay, where's Jay on my phone here? Oh, my God. 5-4-M... No.
That's embarrassing.
Thanks, Em. 5-4-6-6. No. J-I-M. This is not the right person to be doing this. Okay. 5-4-T. 626 is Jimbo. And what was the other one? The alternative?
Jumbo.
Jumbo. And otherwise it'd be 5826. Anyway. All right. Okay, that took a lot longer than I meant it to.
That was rough.
All right. Okie dokie.
Moving on. Okay. So then Monica is leaving the cafe because she's off to see young Ethan.
Yes. Okay, I want to point out here that she doesn't even know how old he is, because when people ask her, like, how old is he, she just replies with probably what he had told her. And it's like, he's a senior. In college, right?
Right.
But it's, I just, the way that she, like, says it, I can just envision that's sort of, like, the conversation where he's like, I'm a senior, you know, yeah. And she interprets it as, I'm a senior in college.
Right.
And then that's what she tells everyone else.
No, but he clearly says that later on, he says he lied to her about how old he was.
Right, okay.
So, like, yeah. he definitely told her he's a senior in college.
Also, though, to be fair, even if he had not said it directly and she understood it a certain way and he continued to let her understand it that way, that is also lying.
Yes, exactly. You're right. Okay, true. But either way. So then she's like, Phoebe gets this another epic line from Phoebe where she's like, you could pass for like 25, 26. And she's like, I am 26.
Which is great because isn't this like one of the first or only times that we hear Monica's age in this season?
I guess so, yeah. And it's also, like, when she says I'm 26, it just, like, is so weird.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's rough.
Okay, so I'm 27, and she is, like, 26. She's, like, the head chef or something at
she's
a
like
restaurant.
She's, like, on her career path.
Or not a head chef, but she's on a high chef position. And then you look at all of them, and, like, Ross is, like, working in a museum. Chandler's working, like, a 9-to-5 job. I guess, like, Phoebe, Joey, and Rachel are kind of, like, flopping about. They're more like your average 26-year-old nowadays.
Flopping about? Is that what we're doing? I'm definitely flopping about. That's the only way I feel like.
Chaotic and twirly, to use the words of Phoebe.
Not in a good way. I don't even think that I deserve chaotic and twirly. I just flopping about.
Flop, flop. Yeah, that's how I'm feeling a little bit.
COVID.
Woo-woo. But it does feel so weird that, like, they're so young and yet they have what, like real human jobs.
Yeah. To be fair, it's, like, half of them. And then, I mean, I don't think this is a spoiler, really, but, like, Monica loses her job.
Right.
And then for a very long time is flopping about as well.
That's true.
Yeah. But anywho, no matter what, it's just interesting because it's like when I was younger, I definitely looked at these folks and was like, yeah, it makes sense. Like these people, like I would have my life together at that point. That makes sense. And then now I'm like 4 years past what Monica is in this first season. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Monica still feels older and more together than me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
Anyone else feel that way out there?
They make them all feel really old. Like, they just, I don't know, 26, yeah. I don't know. They just look old.
They also were older.
Yeah.
Like, the actors were older.
Not all of them, but I think most of them were.
Monica was much older, like a fair amount older. Like, she's actually older than David Schwimmer by, like, 3 years or something.
Oh, wow. Didn't realize that.
Yeah. So then we
enter Chandler's office.
Yes.
Phoebe picks up the phone, answering the phone in her sultry voice.
That was such a good scene.
It's such a good voice.
Yeah.
I love this. Yeah, I love this scene. And then Chandler's like,
and how like high strung Chandler is in this situation. Again, yeah. Him like not undermining, but not having a lot of faith that Phoebe's being a reasonable human being.
Well, I wouldn't have a lot of faith in my friend either if they put on that, like, voice that I've never heard before.
I know, right?
To pick up the phone.
But yeah, it's
great.
It is great.
It's very Mad Men.
It is very Mad Men. Especially the way that she pulls off her earring.
Yeah.
Were they still, like, were those earrings still a real thing in the 90s? I guess so, because they were a really big 80s thing.
The pull-off earrings?
Yeah, like the clip-on earrings. Around, yeah, like, we had them when we were younger. But like, when did they lose?
I still have my ears pierced. So I still like the clip-ons. I'm kidding. I don't use clip-ons.
Do you pull it off?
Pull it off whenever I have to answer the phone.
Those things are just like, like a continuous acupressure or something.
Ooh. Oh, now I just want like a massage. Oh my God. Full circle. Again, I want a massage. Okay. All right. So maybe we could follow this storyline a little bit, like the Chandler and Phoebe storyline. So does that sound good to you?
No, I want to continue going scene by scene now.
Okay.
I'm in the rhythm of it. So all right. next, we're in Monica's apartment and she's getting ready for her date and she's cleaning the windows.
Yeah, but that's so Monica. Like, I'm not surprised. I know.
Like, who does that? And because I thought it was so funny, I polled people who does that. And apparently 22% of people have in the past prepped for their date by cleaning their windows.
Wow.
That's how dirty intense. Were your windows, guys?
Yeah, that's pretty intense. I don't think I've ever done that.
Wow. That's really intense. And, you know, then Rachel figures out that
they may have sex.
But this might be the first time that they're having sex. Also, I really, really appreciated Sid's input here, or like their...
I didn't know you were going to say that.
...perspective. And they're like, wow, I just realized right now that TV language... What did they put it? It was so funny.
The TV version of... Or saying shave your legs is the TV version of shaving your vagina.
Actually, I think it was vajaj is what they said.
Vagine.
Oh, look, last week we talked about penises. Now we're talking about vagines.
We're not calling this episode the one where we play the vagina game.
Also, it would be the vulvular area.
All right, cool. Sounds good. Moving on.
Yes. Okay. And...
Do you still want to talk about this scene?
We don't have to. We can just move on right past it.
No, why? You seem interested in this scene.
Well, I wanted to start asking you questions about the concept of, like, you know, shaving your legs around dating. But I just feel like that's a conversation we don't want to get into.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to have that on this podcast.
We're close, guys. Not that close.
Yes, exactly. All right, moving on. So we're back in Central Perk. Ross is still upset that that Rachel had a dream
about not Chandler. Over it. How long has he been upset about it now? Because, like, I don't... Anyway.
Yeah.
It's been at least an hour, guys, in my opinion.
It's been a while. It's probably been longer than an hour. Isn't it, like, the next day?
It must be the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Calm down, Ross.
So then Chandler
the beeper goes off and he's super stoked. And this is like the beginning of him realizing this beeper is going to be the death of him. I would be so annoyed if I got a beeper. I mean, like, oh, that's one of the poll questions I wanted to ask. Have you ever had a number that was someone else's number in the past? So... I'm really lucky because I got my cell phone when I was fairly young and I've kept my number and I've been very determined to keep my number for all of life.
Same.
Because I have heard of other people who get cell phones now, and because there's just been like so much of a cycle through numbers, usually what they're doing is giving away numbers that were used before, and then people have saved them in their phone or it's attached to an account or all that sort of stuff. It's like a real problem now, I find.
Well, Ilyas has a phone number and he gets phone calls probably on a weekly basis from someone looking for the person who used to have the phone number.
I feel for Ross's situation where he's getting a million calls that have nothing to do with what he really wants it to do with, which is him having a baby.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah, it's super bummer. I know.
But I also think it's like really cute how he ends up just like rolling with it in the end, and how he just like, just leans into it and he's like, it's easier.
So great.
Although I also feel bad at everyone at the other end who are like waiting for their whatever it is they're expecting to come
visit.
Chandler
and Phoebe walk in at this point. Or Phoebe walks in.
With Chandler. Yeah. And he's like, it pays to know
the man that wears my shoes.
Right. And then he clarifies that it's him that he's talking about.
Yeah.
And
I feel bad that he had to clarify that.
And that's when he finds out that, you know, and she's not very soft or gentle or sugarcoaty in the way that she breaks it to him.
Phoebe's never soft or gentle when it comes to telling people the hard truth.
No, exactly. And Chandler's very disappointed with what he hears, that yeah. now he's the boss and people don't like him.
Yeah, and they do him.
Which sounds very, very dirty at first.
Could that be any later?
I love that scene. It's probably like scene. One of my more favorite scenes.
Yeah, I think it's really well. Like, they just really encapsulate in this. Is that the right word?
It's just very meta. Chandler. It's like so meta. Yeah.
And you were saying that, like, he actually has that kind of humor in real life. And if you watch him in other films or TV shows, like, he does have that same kind of sarcastic, dry humor.
Yeah, he was a comedian before this, and he would do like comedian type things. And
comedian type things as instead like he of would comedy.
He would have roles as a comedian, right?
Okay.
And there's like clips of him, and essentially like you'll find tons of little clips that are like Chandler being Chandler before he was Chandler,
right?
You know, like cute. And it's like the existence of Chandler before he was part of Friends, and
right.
And so it's just even funnier because they're or more funny, and. I just feel like you were going to correct me because that's how he is in real life. And so they're like on the show fictionally making fun of this fictional character that is actually kind of a real character.
That's true. I like it. It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that Chandler, like when you create a sitcom, you probably want to highlight these aspects of these actors that like, that have a certain amount of comedic personality to themselves, like their genuine comedic personality, because it's just going to be way easier to write jokes around the kind of person and personality that they already have, you know?
Yeah.
So I can imagine that they weren't like, no, Chandler, change yourself completely, you know, or no, Matthew Perry, change yourself completely. Like they wanted to build on his already
yeah, because
hilarious
yeah,
self.
They are being comedian-y.
Comedic?
Yeah. Apparently we don't have neither of us have the words tonight.
Comedic is a word.
Oh. But no, that's not fully what I mean. Oh, whatever.
Okay, I get comedian-ish.
Yeah. Thanks. Right. You get me.
I got it.
Yes. So then are you feeling good about that? Should we switch over to Monica's apartment?
Yeah. So Ethan is over.
Ethan is over, and he thinks that Gunpoint is a place
yes.
where a lot of crime happens, and yes. why the F do people keep going to Gunpoint?
Which makes sense.
Which I think is really cute, because apparently 22% of people polled in our polls said that they, in fact, did think at one point that Gunpoint was a place.
So very cute, yeah. I probably thought this too, I just don't remember, honestly. I answered no, but I just don't remember. Do you remember?
That's totally something I think that you would think at one point. Like when you're a little, like I just feel like that's one of the misconceptions you would have had.
I used to think a lot of things. I'm smarter now. I'm an adult now. An adult who still lives in their childhood bedroom, but I am an adult now. Did I tell you something cute that Elias used to think?
What?
He used to think that the sun during the day was there for people, and then at nighttime, the sun went down to the fishes. Down, like, because it goes down past the horizon, and he thought it used to go down into the ocean and to light the day for the fishes.
That is something that a surfer would think.
That's so a thing that someone growing up by an ocean would think, not someone who grew up, like, in Montreal.
That's so cute. Okay, so let's talk about sex positivity, because I really like what happens next.
Ethan is a virgin.
Ethan is a quote-unquote virgin, as in has not had the sex.
They don't define.
Yeah, they don't define it. So,
but it is likely that they're talking about penetrative
yeah.
penis and vagina sex.
Yeah, and in the DVD version, he talks about he's amounted to other levels and has
excelled at every
level. But he's never made it to this level. Lol. Like
video game style.
I know,
time right? to meet the boss.
And I just find it great that Monica just sort of like doesn't really bat an eyelash to yeah. it, you know, And it's just in the past, like for like the beginning of the season, Ross was really beat up on for having only slept with one woman, like only having been sexually active with Carol. Yeah. And I think that it's like really nice that now later down the line, we're visiting a similar concept about like a male sexuality. And there was like literally no space given to like making fun of him for it. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just want to like slip in a reminder that sex positivity is also open. It like also includes people who don't want to have sex.
Respecting people who don't yeah. have sex.
Yeah. Asexual or not.
Or even if they don't want to have sex, it's also respecting people who just don't have sex, regardless of if they want to or not.
Exactly. They've had sex.
Yeah.
I also put up a question on our polls, and it was your first time having sex as positive and as enjoyable of an experience as it was for him? What's his name?
Ethan.
And 78% of people said no.
I said yes.
Oh, wow. Really?
And I want to clarify my yes, because it wasn't... Like, if I were to compare that time to literally all other times that I had sex, that time was actually not, I don't want to say literally all other times, but most of all the other times that I had sex, that time was like worse. But because it was my first experience, it was like a fun one. I had a great time. It was like, it was enjoyable. Like, right. I was like stoked about it afterwards.
Right.
Like, and so like, I don't think that. Like, it was a fun, positive experience. It wasn't, like, amazing sex and I orgasmed four times or anything like that. Like, you know, I think it was, like, but I just remember having a great time and feeling good about it. So, right. like, to me, it was good in that sense, you know?
Yeah, no, that sounds yeah. great. Yeah. I guess I just find that it's very often that what's portrayed in, you know, everywhere is, like, in the media is this concept of, like, not having sex, and then you've had sex, and you've successfully accomplished all the greatness of sex.
So
and
true.
It's literally just, like, a matter of, like, taking down a wall of, like, now you are doing the sex, and, like, that yeah. is it, yeah. you know? And I think that that kind of opens people up for a lot of, like, disappointment and confusion and...
Puts a lot of pressure on the first time that doesn't need to exist.
There. Yeah. And also yeah. a lot of the times, like, it's, like, not a matter of, like, we've had the sex. Done. It's sort of like this gradual thing, like, especially if you're having, like, penile and vagina sex. It's going, like, it can be a painful experience, and therefore it's right. like not a matter of like we're doing the sex and now we've had the sex. It's like has to be like a slow gradual thing that happens over time, and like right. you know, there's like there's never any room in the portrayal for that to happen, and I find that really interesting.
Yeah,
which is sure. why I really love in Jane the Virgin. Okay, spoiler alert, guys. Out in the 5 seasons of Jane the Virgin, Jane no longer is a virgin at some point. Mm-hmm. And I love how they actually explore that concept in yeah. Jane the Virgin. And it's sort of like she's been waiting for so long. And then, you know, like, and it's with someone that she really is close with and cares for. And then...
And she's married.
Yeah, and so...
like, but because that's such a thing. People are like, you know, sex is when, like, for when you're married, and it's so important, and it's going to be so amazing when you have it because you waited, and blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And so they dispel that myth really quickly, which I appreciate, yeah.
Yeah, and it takes them a while of, like, communicating around it and figuring it out, and mm-hmm. I really appreciate that portrayal, because yeah. that's something that's... Like, never, like, I don't think I've ever seen that in TV before. Yeah. And I think that's a much healthier portrayal.
Yeah, totally. I find too often you see these, like, ridiculous sex scenes where it literally makes zero sense. And you're just like, neither of you are having that good of a time. This is a lie.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just thought it was very nice to poll everyone. And I just love how, like, the majority of people say that it wasn't actually a positive or enjoyable experience the first time, because yeah. that is like the mainstream feels about the first time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Anyway.
All right. So, okay. So then we get into two kind of different aspects around consent, which I kind of want to talk about. So one is without the fact that he is a minor, take that aside because that's the second thing I want to talk about. The first thing is like they both lied to each other.
Yeah. About their age.
About their age. And I actually think that what Monica did was like kind of not cool. Well, no. So she lies about her age and then only tells him after they've had sex.
Yeah.
When he has told her something quite personal to him, like that would have been her opening.
Yeah.
Like she's like, instead, after they have sex, she's like, well, like, since you told me this thing about you, I'm going to tell you the truth about this thing about me.
Yeah.
But it's like, you should have set that up sooner. Like.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So.
Truth telling earlier the better.
Yeah. And like.
And probably usually, would have curbed this whole situation.
Yeah. And like lying about things in order to. Like they didn't lie in order to have sex. They lied in order to protect themselves, which then resulted in sex. So it's not like, it's not quite the same, but it's
I would say that the majority of the time that someone lies, it is to protect themselves.
No, I understand. But it wasn't like when Chandler, in future episodes, you find out that Chandler lied about being a Kennedy to get girls into bed. Or, no, wait, that was in a past episode, I think.
Right.
Like, that, like, you're lying specifically in order to manipulate someone into bed. Versus, in this scenario, I don't think she lied in order to manipulate him to have sex with her. I think she lied in order to not, to portray herself as younger, because she was embarrassed by her age.
Yeah. And I think, okay, let's also take a second to unpack this a little, right?
Yeah.
Because there is a part of, for a woman, her, as she gets older, her value diminishes.
Yeah.
And people.
Well, not according to us, according to society. Right.
Okay, yes. Let me clarify here for people. Within the realms of society and how society views women as a whole, that the older a woman gets, the more, like, the less value she has.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of issues around, like, yeah. Okay, I'm not being, okay. So, and then also further, generally men just wanting to date younger women. And I have also noticed this in people of like men less likely to date older women because they are more established in who they are, which can mean that they're a little bit more threatening to a man as a person. And right. Whether it's a matter of like he doesn't have enough self-confidence or or he just would prefer something that's like in his mind like more easygoing or something. Mm-hmm. It's just it becomes problematic because that just ends up making it so that women feel like women are less likely to find partners as they get older. Okay. So all to say is that like I do think that there's like some nuance here with the and I do think when she turns around to him and says that my line is different, I do think that she is right in that.
Yeah.
Is it okay that she still lied? Is it okay that she waited until she thought that he was more hooked in order to tell him the truth? Probably no, it's not great. Mm-hmm. But she does have a point when she says that his lie makes her a felon in 48 states.
Yeah. Yeah, his lie is definitely way worse. And so, okay, so let's get into that. So the age of consent in 1995 when this episode was filmed was 18.
Today,
since 2007, been switched to 17 years old is now the age of consent. And so,
And he does say in this episode that he is 17. Mm-hmm. So technically, he is of the age of consent. Mm-hmm. And so what she did was not. Now. Yes.
He wasn't the age of consent then.
Oh, right, right, right. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So technically, she could be charged if, you know, it ever came to that with statutory rape. It's like, I have a lot of feels around this. I think that, personally, I think the age of consent as 16 to me makes sense. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's very like, there's a lot of debate on both sides of the coin for this. And I think that like, I do appreciate that the law has changed in the ways in which it's like, they have different levels of statutory rape now. So it's like, if someone is under the age of like 15 and having sex with someone who's over the age of 21, then that's considered something totally different than if it's someone who's under the age of like between 15 and 17 and they're over 21 versus someone being like 19 and the person's 17. Like there's a lot more nuance around these things. And obviously these laws are really important to protect, you know, minors from being preyed upon by gross older humans. But like, I do think that, that someone can be fully consensual in sex at, you know, the age of 16.
But also on the other side, like, there are some very, yeah, I think that moving the law closer to being able to reflect the nuance of situations is important.
Yeah.
And I do think that it does become a more dangerous game when you start like having larger age gaps and younger people. Mm-hmm. And I also think that, you know, it's important to recognize certain gender related issues at play, right?
Yeah.
Like the reality is that like this is a situation where it's like Monica, who normally as you get older, you are more likely to have less worth, be more discarded of, and be, like, tossed aside. And so it's just a different situation than when it's, like, a dude who is continuously having a pattern of dating someone who is, you know, 18 or, you know, like, 8 years younger than you.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 26 specifically.
Yeah. Like, this is a big age difference.
Yeah.
Well, he's 17. So 26 and 17 is 9 years age difference. Oof. It's almost a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, and so maybe we could talk about kind of what happens from here. Maybe we could finish off this storyline.
Yeah.
So basically, obviously, he tries to call her mom. Like, she breaks it off. So she breaks it off. She says, you know, this doesn't make sense. And she basically just like stops calling him, is clearly very, very, very grossed out by herself. And then he comes to find her at Central Park. And he delivers some great lines here. He's like, you know, I'm not 17.
I'm married. I'm your congressman.
Yeah, it's great. It's cute. He says some great lines there. And he's like, we're great together. And, you know, I don't want to throw this away because of this, blah, blah, blah. And she basically just says, you know, it's icky. And what she could have said here is like, no, because like, you know, this is one, illegal, and two, icky, you know, but she only says the ick factor, as is the title of this episode. But I do understand like her just being like she makes the right decision here. She tells him and lets him down in a very kind, polite way. And she tries to help him understand that like, this doesn't make sense, and that if she was a few years younger, or he was a few years older,
I mean, it still wouldn't work if she was a few years younger, like from like the legal standpoint.
There is a certain amount of gap. There's like a, I think she, if she's under 21, so right. a few years younger if she's under 21, you know?
Not a few, Monica.
Okay, well, whatever. it's more if he was like, you know, he could have been like 17 and a half, you know? So like that to me is where the age of consent is a little bit blurry because it's like, is he really going to have more understanding of like sex in 6 months, you know, let's say if he's 17 and a half, you know, mm-hmm. It's just, it's so hard to know these things and these laws are so important to protect people. But it's also like, you know, it's hard because the last thing you would want would be for your, you know, 16-year-old kid to be dating someone who's older. And because they're worried that you could punish them, they don't tell you about that relationship, you know? So it's like, there's like a flip side to things all the time. Anyways,
yeah,
we're totally going back to the old conversation we were having. But and so she breaks it off with him. And I think that that is done well. And they portray that in a really positive way.
I Instagram asked people what they would do if they were in Monica's situation. You said run away.
Yeah, I was mostly just kidding.
I know, you're just being silly. I love finding yours in our polls. D. Marie said dip with a little peace sign, which I thought was cute. The Girl Crush podcast, which is an Instagram account and also a podcast, said run, girl, run.
Yeah, so I'm not the only one who said run away.
Yeah. Yvonne Karslick? Yvonne said, I'd laugh out loud, then go, whoops. And then I like how Ray of Neptune was like, I think what she did was perfect.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I think that she mm-hmm. handled the situation fairly well. Better than any of the men would have handled the situation.
Oh, totally. Oh my God. The men would have continued to date him.
Also, like, not to mention that, like, Ross is making total fun of her at the beginning of this when he is like, ha, huh, you're dating a college senior. Mm-hmm. When down the line, first of all, his character is older than Monica. And then in years from now, he is going to date a college, maybe senior, when he is a professor.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just...
Yeah, that's a...
Enter hypocrisy there. And that'll be really fun to talk about later down the line.
Yeah, in 6 years. okay, yeah. So maybe we can go back a little bit, back up, because there's a few things that we missed. One is Rachel talks a little bit more about her dream, and she talks specifically about how Joey is now in her dream. And I really like that they're both there and they're starting to kind of like sexualize, not her, but like they're trying to like pull things out of her. They're like, so what are we doing? And what are we doing? And she's like, and she kind of throws it back at them. And she's like, well, you know, there are times that like it wasn't even me. And at first they clearly don't get it. They're like, oh, ho, 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 ho. And then they're like, oh, haha, gay. Like,
right.
Just like,
and I just find this really interesting because I often come back to this quote that I think is not fully correct, but I find it very impactful, where it's like men's homophobia is rooted in their fear of being treated the way they treat women.
Interesting.
And I find this sort of like a situation that's similar, right? Where it's like, if it had been a different way, you know, where it was like Monica and Rachel, like the issue is continuously, like, you know, like last episode, we were, you know, getting fed up with Joey, who is like walking into a room and seeing his female friends hugging and he's like sexualizing him, like, ho, 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 like spank bank. Whereas like, you know, here it's like reversed on them and it's like this, ah, and it becomes like a homophobic joke, but it's holding a mirror up to them and the situation, you know?
And I love that, like, it is a homophobic joke, but I think that Phoebe makes it so sweet. She just, like, hugs them and she's like, oh, you guys. So great.
They are a cute relationship, the two of them.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so, yeah, so then later on, Phoebe and Chandler are talking. Chandler had gone to a party with some coworkers the night before. They were drinking together. They were having a good time. They did karaoke, blah, blah, blah. And Chandler was like, great, my, you know, my employees finally like me. And Phoebe is like, no, they don't. She says, you know, you're still a great boss. They're just not your friend. And I find this interesting because, like, I don't think I've ever had a relationship with a boss where, like, I felt they were both my friend and, like, I don't know. I guess I've just never had a relationship with a boss in which I was like, you're a really good boss, but you're not my friend. Or,
well, at a hierarchical corporation, like, yeah, like, not to say that it can't exist, and if yeah, anything, maybe it should exist, oh, right? Should, yeah. But when you're put in a system that's a hierarchical corporation,
yeah,
and you are, you know, let's face it, at these places, it's very much like you're just a machine, mm-hmm, you know, that's working for them. And so it's really hard for you to maintain, like, solid relationships mm-hmm with people when you're like going up this hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
And that's not to say that it doesn't exist. And I think that also now newer, more modern management systems have come to recognize like how problematic these things. And if anything, you know, there's tons of studies that have come out saying that it actually impedes on the ability for people to enjoy where they're working. And that means mm-hmm that, you know, it's going to increase turnover, which is bad for the company, and also yeah, make it harder for people to focus and concentrate and have good mental health, which is all very important. Turns out humans are humans and need, you know, great places to work in order to, like, fulfill. Thrive, yeah, yeah, in order to have drive and be able to offer things to the world.
It is interesting. Like, I do think that it is possible to have a relationship with a boss, but I just think it's important for bosses to recognize that no matter how close your relationship becomes with your employee, like, if you have the ability to fire someone, that relationship is always going to have a little bit of, like...
Well, it's going to have precedence.
It's going to be like your friendship with them is going to have a bit of a pin in it. It's going to have a bit of like, you know, I don't know what the word is, but like there will be some sort of boundary that exists if you have the ability to fire them. It's just yeah, true. And I do find it interesting because, like, I think there's a lot of this mentality of like small businesses caring about their employees and creating this, this kind of like family or friendship vibe in an idea. And it sounds so great on paper, but unfortunately, usually what it ends up being is that, it becomes, like a way for employers to take advantage of employees. And so people end up being in this position in which, you know, they're constantly being told they're a part of a family, they're a part of a family. And then, you know, they're asked to like do overtime hours, but not get paid for it. Or, you know, come in on a weekend because you're helping out the family, but, you know, not get compensated for it. And I do think that it's really important that if you are, you know, whatever, a boss, you know, if someone's listening to this podcast and they're a boss, just to like you're all bosses, guys.
Oh God. Hashtag boss.
Be your own boss. Oh my God. But if you are listening to this podcast and you do like employ people, I think it is important to recognize that like you need to put precedence above the fact that like your employer relies on you to pay their rent, to pay their groceries. And while it's like so important for mental health and morale to have a good relationship with your employees, a good relationship does not trump, you know, paying them properly, paying them well, making sure they have benefits, and all of those other things that will actually make them probably like you better as a boss.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, yeah. Totally. Right. So then we flip over to the final scene, right? Yeah. Oh, wait, no, let's talk about this for a tad second longer. Because I just want to point out that as much as I still do believe that Chandler needed to lose his job after what he did to his mm-hmm employee, I also think that, like, this is an interesting episode that almost, like, touches back to that indirectly, where it's sort of like he needed this from Phoebe. You know, it's like, no, like you have to cut off this concept that you are a peer. You're not a peer. You have a, there is a power dynamic at play now, and you have to be able to see it and respect it, you know, like in order to like, to actually be good at, you know, being a healthy boss, you know, like you have to be able to see that power dynamic in order for you to be able to have a healthy relationship with that person.
But I don't think he really necessarily learns that lesson at all, because
I know, right?
And he doesn't really like approach it in a positive way. Like he, you know, at the end of the episode, you see him and he gives them material to make fun of him with. And that would have been so great if that's just all it was. And he accepted the fact that, like, you know, and he's just like goes with it, rolls with
it. But instead, some people are working this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And so he then takes it to like, create revenge on these employees that have made fun of you. And it's just like, it's not realistic for someone. I genuinely don't think it's realistic for you to expect that your employees will never have a bad thing or criticism to say about you. Like, you employ them, you see them 40 hours a week, like, they're going to say things about you. And there's, like, you know, there's mean ways to say things about someone, and those are never valid. But, like, complaining about your boss is, like, a universal rule.
Yeah.
I don't know a single person who has never at least once complained about their boss. Like,
yeah.
And it doesn't matter how much you love them, because, like, even if you, like, love a family member, you still complain about them, you know, love
you. You complain about me?
Never. It never happens. Not even once. But, like, it's true. Like, sometimes you just need to vent about people, you know? And
yeah.
And so it's unrealistic for someone to, like, get mad at their employees because they, like, you know, make fun of the boss. Like, come on. You have to recognize that this is going to be a reality if you're a boss. Like,
yeah. That's it. I also want to point out that there are, you know, in response to Chandler getting people to work on the weekend, there are countries that have actually made it illegal for employers to contact their employees on weekends or on hours that are not set, because...
Where are these countries? Can I move
there? I think Germany is one of them.
Can I move there?
But I just want to point that out, because... And also point out the fact that, like, you know, our systems are very different than other places, and we definitely have a lot more of a grind until you die mentality, whereas a lot of other places, specifically first world countries, do not have that mentality. They're like, we're first world for a reason, biatch.
Wow. That's a line.
I know, right? That's what they're all saying, though.
Wow.
Yeah. So then, now finally, the final scene.
Okay, there's two final scenes. So Rachel is lying on the couch, sleeping, and suddenly starts to have a sex dream about Ross.
And he's so excited. He does a Chandler dance.
He does a Chandler dance. He hops up on the table and starts dancing around. And I think this is, like, kind of cute. Like, he's, like,
yeah,
he's, like, so excited and so happy about this, like, very arbitrary thing. And then he falls and wakes her up, and she has, again, they have this almost moment, right? Yeah. And I do have to hand it to Ross that they do have a lot of almost moments that often get interrupted. And so it's like, and even if those almost moments are just him telling her that he likes her, you know, then, like, and I can understand, like, trying to bring yourself up the courage, or whatever that is. Kind of, what's that term? Pull up the courage.
Get the courage?
Get up the courage. There's an actual term for this, and I really can't think of it
right now. Get up the courage.
Get up the courage?
I'm not the person to be asking.
Why does
about
it
this?
Sound wrong? Okay. But it takes a lot of energy to get up the courage to, like, tell someone that you like them.
Yeah.
And so he has to do that, like, four times and constantly gets interrupted, or, like, whatever, three times, let's say. And then, you know, finally he has this other moment and, you know, he says, oh, great, now I'm having a baby.
Which
and
is...
then he's like, oh my God, I'm having a baby. And then he falls and he says, I'm hurt.
And then our final scene is him frantically pushing everyone out the door.
Which doesn't make sense to me. Why didn't he just go first and tell them to join?
So that's the thing about this show, is that when one person goes to the hospital, everyone has to go to the hospital.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's like, it's hilarious.
They were all there for all of the baby's births throughout the whole 10 seasons.
I mean, I very much enjoy all the hospital visits.
Yeah,
for sure. But there's also, like, we've already been to the hospital, like, twice this season.
Have we?
Well, definitely one when Rachel hurts her ankle. And another time when Ross hits his nose. So we've already spent two episodes.
And then there's another episode where the Phoebe and Monica are constantly going to the hospital to change that guy's clothes.
Right.
This is the fourth episode where they're in the hospital.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to spend the next two episodes in the hospital.
No, just the next one episode.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just think that over the whole 10 seasons, it's like maybe they just committed to building a set and they're like, we just got to use it a lot, guys.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Why not?
They're going off to the hospital. And then finally, when everyone's out the door and going, Ross freaks out.
Yeah. And it's cute. Yeah, I think this is a cute moment. He's like, oh, my God, I'm going to be a father. And it's the same thing that happened a few episodes earlier where he has that same freak out moment where, you know, he's so busy getting things ready, being prepared. And then little did he realize he didn't actually prepare for the emotions that come with this, you know? Yeah.
And you know what? I can really empathize with that because, I don't know, like, it's one thing when you're going through it and you're in the partnership with the person, mm-hmm. you know? And another when you're, like, not with that person all the time, right? Like, I can only project and imagine that, you know, Mark and Allie, who are the parents of Nora, who is the star of our podcast, you know, like when going through that and processing it as it evolves, you know, like you have your partner there who's like, I'm also going to be a parent. We're doing this together.
Yeah.
It's like a whole other level when it's like you're like on the outside of it and then you don't have that person to process it with as much.
For sure.
Who do you think was the best friend of the episode?
The best friend of the episode, I was thinking about this. I'm not sure. Okay, so I kind of want to go over all of them. Like, I think Phoebe wasn't necessarily delivering to Chandler in the best way.
Yeah.
I don't think Ross, Chandler, or Joey can get best friend of this episode just because of how much they make fun of Monica for dating a younger guy.
Yeah, definitely.
It kind of puts me into the line of, like, maybe Monica or Rachel, but neither of them did anything that was, like, exceptionally...
like, significant for...
significant.
The others.
They were just, like, existing. Not as bad as the others.
I don't know. I actually think that even though Phoebe's delivery wasn't the best, she also... was the one that gave out, like, advice and some a little bit of hard love. And, like, that's true. Like she wasn't the best going out about it. But then when it came to it, she was actually gave some really great advice and, like, kind of sat him down. It was like, look, like it's not what you want it to be, but, like, let go of that, you know? And then kind of gave him what it is now. And, you know, that can be hard to do with your friend. And so I think I vote Phoebe.
Okay, I'll vote Phoebe too.
Cool. I convinced you?
Yeah, you convinced me. I just excellent. Honestly, because none of them were better than that, so. Sorry, but
sure. But I'm excited for next week.
Yeah, I know. Next week is a great episode. The next two episodes are going to be game changers for mm-hmm. the show, so it's fun.
Yeah.
There's some great scenes. I do want to mention one thing, and I know I'm going backwards, but there was one of my favorite lines that happened in this episode, and I just need to mention it. And it is when Ethan comes into to Central Perk, and the Rachel, Ross, and Joey need to, like, find a reason to leave the room so Ethan and Monica can have a conversation. And I just think it's so well done. Where they're just like, have you guys seen the new dryers? And Ross's best line, he goes, oh my God, I thought that was just a rumor. So great.
Anyway, it is so great.
Again, excellent writing from this episode. So happy, so, so happy that Alexa Young wrote this episode, because I think it could have gone poorly if anyone else wrote this episode.
And before we head out, I want to point out that last week we celebrated one of our new patrons. Did we?
We didn't celebrate Allie.
We didn't celebrate
Allie. Who is our latest patron?
Who is our latest patron? Because we got Allie just a couple days after. So... thank you, Allie.
Thanks, Allie, for being a part of our
crew. This is not the Allie that we can, like, we have mentioned this Allie a couple times in the podcast for like Instagram comments and stuff like that, but is not actually the Allie that we are currently living with and is the parent of Nora. So
different Allie who we love a lot.
goes by underscore Allie Kloost on Instagram. Thank you for being our patron, one of our smelly cats. On top of that, I want to say that we pronounced Anna's name wrong last week.
Yeah, we knew that. We talked for like the first 10 minutes of last week's episode about how we pronounced it wrong.
Well, no, we pronounced the last name wrong, but then Anna wrote us and said that it wasn't Anne. It's pronounced Anna. Yeah.
Makes sense.
But what I thought was really cute was that, okay, what Anna says is, don't worry about the pronunciation of my last name. You're participating in a proud friend's tradition of comically butchering Dutch pronunciations, which I think
love it
is amazing. And I was like not aware of because I'm not Dutch. So yeah, I'm so excited.
Thanks for that information.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Anna's insight moving forward. And I'm excited to have Allie as part of our Netflix watch parties in future. Woohoo. So thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone who's supporting us. And if you like the show, leave us a review or become one of our smelly cats too.
Woohoo.
It rhymed.
And nice. And you can find me, my name is Emily, at emilybyoga.com or on my Instagram at emilybyoga. That's Emily with an I-E, not a Y.
And you can find me, handle quinkbrunet or quinkbrunet.com. And then you can email us at wtphalange@gmail.com. And you can tell us all the things that we didn't talk about in this episode in case there were things that you wanted us to mention that we didn't.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, WTPhalange Podcast, where we post polls every Monday.
Every Monday.
Woo-woo! All right, see you next week on What the Phalange. Don't...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Keep
deconstructing and...
Keep deconstructing and diversifying.
The media we consume.
You consume.
Whatever. We all consume.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the Phalange. If you're picking up what we're putting down, please consider supporting us on Patreon, leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, and or sharing us with all of your friends on social media.
You can find us at whatthephalangepodcast.com. Email us at wtphalange@gmail.com, DM us on Twitter at wtphalangepod, or follow us on Instagram at wtphalangepodcast. All links will be included in the show notes below.
Want to get in touch with us each individually? You can find Emily on Twitter as EmilyB__, and that's Emily with an I-E.
And you can find Quinn at TheBasicNB on Instagram. Keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.